Hi, everyone. I'm Jasmine Tyler from the Drug Policy Alliance. It's quite a pleasure to be here. It's my first normal conference. I want to thank Keith and Paul and Alan for having me out here and for Madeline for putting this panel together. I think this is a really, really important topic. It's a long time coming, as in my opinion. As I look out in the room, this is probably the whitest audience I've ever given a speech to, so I hope I don't offend. We're all friends here. I took the job at the Drug Policy Alliance almost 4 years ago because I believe very strongly that the war on drugs is the new Jim Crow. I believe that because it's been my personal life story. I grew up visiting prisons, visiting my dad in prison, and I only ever saw black people there. I never actually saw white prisoners in prison until I was in college. I read books like The Philadelphia Negro by W.E.B. Du Bois, and books like Race Matters by Cornel West. And as I grew academically, I realized there was something. The personal really is the political. My family's experience was exactly the experience that other families around the country were going through, and I wasn't going to let it stand anymore. So I get to fight the drug war. I don't know a lot of you, because for a long time I've been working on a different drug. I'm known as DPA's crack lady. I've been working to equalize the sentences between crack and powder cocaine for almost 4 years, like I said, and people... Thank you. People were working on that long before I came to the fight. Let me let you know that for sure. But it's the work of, you know, drug policy reformers like Ira Glasser and Deborah Small and my own fearless leader, Ethan Nadelman, that really helped me understand exactly how the drug war had become the new Jim Crow and articulate that not just around crack cocaine but around other problems with the drug war. And we can't separate marijuana and the fight to end marijuana prohibition from the rest of the drug war, especially... I'm not used to all this applause... especially when it comes to marijuana arrests, because the same things that we see when we talk about the crack powder disparity, right? 100 times worse, more harsh sentencing schemes. It takes 5 grams of powder cocaine, or it took. We recently had some success I'll tell you about. It took 5 grams of powder cocaine, 2 sugar packets for your morning coffee, to trigger a 5-year mandatory minimum sentence that it took 500 grams of powder cocaine to trigger. Crack cocaine is made from powder. Let me say it again. Crack cocaine is made from powder cocaine. It took 50 grams of crack cocaine, the weight of a Mr. Goodbar candy bar, to trigger a 10-year mandatory minimum sentence that it took 5 kilos of powder cocaine to trigger. 5,000 grams. I don't have to tell you, I don't know people in the hood who have boats or shipping companies or 18-wheelers who are driving this stuff around the country. I just don't. It starts out in powder form, and it's trafficked into this country. And it's not Mexico's fault. 60% of the drugs that come into the country, sure, they come from Mexico. But 100% of the drugs that are in this country come across our borders. But it's not about stopping the movement of drugs or prohibiting substances that other countries have grown for centuries. It's about enforcing the laws that continue to keep a certain group of people subjugated in our society. It's happened since Africans were forced to migrate through society. We've been hyper-surveilled since that time. It hasn't changed. It didn't change during Reconstruction. It didn't change after the Civil Rights Movement, even though great gains were made. We have the war on drugs now, and that's our new form of racial segregation in this society. As you heard from Harry, the statistics are startling. 1 in 3 African Americans is under criminal justice supervision. 1 in 3 African Americans has a marijuana arrest. I can tell you that this just doesn't just happen in the hood. 3 of my closest friends all have graduate degrees, all are quite successful in their lives. They contribute to their communities and to our country every day. And one of them has a marijuana conviction. It doesn't just happen in the hood, like I said. It happens in suburban hoods. It happens in McMansion hoods. It happens to black people around the country. It's time to end it. These marijuana arrests aren't just troublesome because they're an arrest and you have to deal with the police and you have to deal with the courts and maybe you have a short period of jail time associated with it. They have lifelong consequences. They keep you from getting jobs. They keep you from getting housing. They keep you from getting public benefits. They keep you from getting student loans. And sometimes they keep you from voting. With the crack disparity, we saw that 82% of the people who were serving time federally for crack offenses were African Americans. But African Americans actually only make up 1/3 of crack users. 2/3 of crack users around the country are white or Latino. I'll say it again. 82% of the people serving time for crack offenses are black. But 2/3 of the people who use crack are white or Latino. It's a question of enforcement, like I mentioned earlier, and like Harry mentioned in his presentation. We can't take this any longer, and thank God we have people who are standing up against it and who are willing to turn a corner in the civil rights movement and who are willing to turn a corner in the social justice movement and who are willing to turn a corner in the drug policy reform movement to stop it. So thank you for standing with me and with my family and everyone.